With God, nothing shall be impossible, is the title of today's exhortation, taken from Judges chapter 3, verse 31. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, and verses 26 to 38, was recorded the message of the angel Gabriel to an unknown, humble, obscure girl called Mary, living in Israel, residing in a town in Galilee called Nazareth. Nazareth was a vile town where vices filled the streets. That God would give her a child, that the child that will be conceived in her womb, that she would bring forth a son, and that she would call his name Jesus, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. The angel further revealed to her concerning her virgin conception, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her. So 6 months now was Elizabeth pregnant, who was barren. Well, she was not able to conceive. And verse 37 says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it according unto me, or be it unto me according to thy word. And so she willingly submitted herself to the revelation of God concerning her life. Mary believed God, and it was counted unto her for righteousness. She would in time carry the Holy Child, the Son of God, in her womb. And Jesus himself would declare in Luke's Gospel 18 verse 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And Mark 10, 27, Jesus says, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. A man surrendered and yielded to God is a mighty instrument for his glory. Shamgar was such a man. Although the Bible barely mentioned in just one verse in Judges 3:31, it was enough to be placed as an eternal tribute to the glory of God. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Apostle Paul said to the church in Colossae, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. What God does for the sinner to cleanse us of all our sins, it's an impossible feat. And Paul says, know well what God hath done for you. And if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached unto every creature which is under heaven, this one gospel, whereof I, Paul, made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. A work that he didn't want to do, But God blinded him. And he was placed there by God, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is manifest to his saints. What the Old Testament scripture prophesy about now is made plain and clear, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, God in you, the creator of the whole universe, the sustainer of the whole universe, residing in you. Can you imagine the kind of a state of a person that we are, the Spirit of God in us? Well, that was the same word that was given by the angel Gabriel to Mary, that the Holy Ghost will come upon her and she shall conceive of this holy child, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. The mighty work of redemption was entrusted to a man, a most unlikely candidate, because he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor of the church. Jesus came to him by a great light from heaven. Acts 26, verse 14, Paul testified, "And when we were all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speak unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." The word pricks there describes a prodding instrument, a goat. A goat is a 6 to 8 feet long stick with a pointed end. And this is an instrument that is used by farmers to train their oxen to move in a straight line. When they are plowing, right, the oxen need to be moving straight in order to have a straight plow to plant the seed, right, to the water, right, to make sure that they would have a proper harvest. And so here, the goat will poke the shoulder, not hurting the animal, but showing them the way, this way, this way, this way. And it plays at the back of the feet of the ox, so that when it resisted and kicked back, when the ox would kick back, right, the goat pricks its feet, causing it not to resist, but to submit and move in the right direction to make the plow. For the Apostle Paul, it was God's way of arresting him, to turn him around to be the great champion for the gospel. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 11, "The words of the wise are as goats." Goats, in the sense that it is to direct you, it is to guide you, as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. The word of God has that kind of an effect. Shamgar, the judge of Israel, had a most unlikely weapon for warfare. His weapon was an ox goat. But he was able to use it with distinction to defeat a great army of 600 men in an open field combat. How to fight with 600 men? Right, before you could move anything, right, if 50 men were to come upon you, you're already overwhelmed. Right? And we said that he's not a Samson. Right? Samson was endowed with great strength. God gave him great strength. He was able even to pull the gates of a city. Right? But this man, there was nothing, no description of any special power that was given him, except that God was with him. And so verse 31 of our text, with verse 31 of our text, we have two thoughts. With God, the first thought, nothing shall be impossible, the second thought. So the first thought, our text says, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath. After who? After Ehud, which we saw last 2 Wednesdays ago. Ehud was raised by God to overcome the Moabites. Ehud escaped. You follow the story where we left off in verse 26 of Judges chapter 3, where they tarried, he killed, assassinated the Moabite king, passed through the quarries, escaped to Sarath, and it came to pass when he was come that he withdrew, he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them, and he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him, and took the forts of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty, all men of valor, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. 80 years of peace after Moses, God raised Joshua to follow the train after coming out of Egypt to conquer the promised land. After Paul came Timothy and Titus and many others, Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 3, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. After Ehud, the left-handed warrior, the cripple, came Shamgar. He stood in the gap. Although there is little information recorded concerning this man's pedigree, there was nothing great to be noted about him or his upbringing or his ancestry. We are told that he was a son of Anath. The word means answer. Shamgar was a humble laborer who worked in the field when men fear to work because the enemies plunder the land and take the spoil. But he bravely plodded on to plow the land. Judges 5 verse 6 tells us, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. We speak here of a situation when in Israel when the people fear to travel on main roads because those are roads whereby ambushes will be there. There will be roadblocks. They will be stopped. They would be, just like the man who was robbed on the highway, who was saved by the Samaritan, who came and helped him. Right. Well, here we are speaking about dangers in Israel. Right. Israel was not a safe place because the enemies occupy the land. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27 to 31 gives a description of the humble beginning of Shamgar. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There was no glory in the man that we can speak of, except that God was with him to appoint him to be the judge of Israel. Nothing is said of him. The word Shamgar means sword. He was a sword of the Lord to defeat the enemies of God. As for his father, little known, Anath, except about who he is or his ancestry. But he was useful for the Lord for who he is. God used him in the course of his daily labor when it was interrupted by intruders. So it's well observed in the biblical illustrator. It says here, God never selects a lazy, idle man when he's going to choose a person to do some noble work. He promotes none but busy men. Shamgar was plowing when the Philistines came upon him. He speaks well for him that he had heart to plow at such a time. For the whole country was thrown into great fear and discouragement. Few men, I'm inclined to think, had courage enough just then to plow. Such men are an inspiration and a blessing to any community. It was during the time of the lockdown that we see some of our folks who braved, we said, the environment to come for worship when few would. And one of them is our dear sister who has just gone home to be with the Lord, who was there with us throughout. Commendable, we said. He was doing his daily duty, and the Lord used him for his glory in the course of his duty. God can use us in the course of our daily life when we diligently labor for him in the things that he put our hands to do. He was an available and willing instrument in the hands of God. Available in the sense that he made himself available and willing. He was not there for any other thing except to serve God for his glory. And because of the pureness of the motive, the man could be used. The same because of the impure motive, a man cannot be used. So here we say this, the Lord did not even have to describe the Spirit of God filling him and using him, but just his exploits, which attest to God being with that man. Just his exploits, the Lord described. 600 men. So here, our first thought with God. Right? And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath. And our second thought, nothing shall be impossible, which slew the second part of our text in verse 31 says, of the Philistines, 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. His weapon was simply a long stick, 6 to 8 feet long, with its end pointed, not even a weapon, but an instrument to enable him to direct the ox to make a straight plow. And so here you see that this deliverer of Israel had no good weapon to use. But God was with him. He had faith to believe that God has given them the land and they are to occupy the land. And therefore, we see how the Lord uses him. And in Judges 5, verse 8, it says, they chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Where was there a shield or a spear among seen among 40,000 in Israel. Well, it was a statement made that there was no weapon in Israel. The only thing they had was something that they used for their domestic farming, agriculture. So in 1 Samuel 13, verse 19, it's described, "Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears." So they had no weapons because the enemy do not want them to become powerful. And so they refused them any weapons. And so the Philistines did not want Israel to have weapons to revolt against their rule. For Shamgar to defeat 600 men, it was a miraculous and unparalleled victory. As we said, Samson killed 1,000 men by wielding the jawbone of an ass. But Samson was supernaturally endowed with great strength. It was not mentioned the same for Shamgar. David had but a sling and a stone. He was but a young man, but the Spirit of God was with him. Sometimes we think what wonders we could do if we had better instruments, if we had better environment. We would have fared much better. Right? We blame our environment for our failures. If only we had better resources, we would have accomplished more. It was not so with Shamgar. So it was with the fishermen whom God chose to be fishers of men. They were but unlearned men, yet when the Spirit of God came, many were ushered through them into the kingdom of God. Indeed, as it was said by one writer, it is poor logic to throw the blame on our instruments or surroundings. The workman is more than his tools. The spirit and skill of the worker tower over his surroundings. If we are not moved, then you can have the best instruments and yet nothing accomplished. Shamgar fought this battle with an ox goad. However discouraging may be our circumstances, if we would give ourselves fully to walk with God, God can use such a one. So D.L. Moody says, God has not, or man has not seen what God can do for one man that is fully consecrated to him. If only we would lay our all on the altar when we do not hold anything back, can God not use? Surely God can use. Right, the trouble is this, is our all on the altar. And so it behooves us as we consider the judge of Israel, this man called Shamgar, who did an impossible feat to defeat the Philistines. In our life work, we should be natural and the use of instruments we know best how to handle. For Shamgar, it was the axe goad. For us, well, God put us where we are. And God can use us in wherever He places us to be His instrument for righteousness. If you would be ready as an instrument for God, God sends someone your way, and the Spirit of God comes and gives you that the wisdom, to share, to invite, to speak, to influence, surely God can do marvelous work when we would yield ourselves to Him, when we would be willing to submit ourselves to His use. That's where the Lord can use us to make a difference for Him. We said no two persons are alike. The manner of work that we do, the kind of things that we are engaged in. But God uses men, right, who are consecrated to Him. Shamgar not only was able by his God-given strength, slew 600 Philistines, but he also delivered Israel. In other words, it inspired many others. If Shamgar could do it, so can we. If Shamgar can do it, so can we. And so here, in conclusion, let us say this. Let us not despise the day of small beginnings. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us and grant to us Thy peace and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ as we yield ourselves for the Master. May Thy Spirit be pleased to fill us and instruct us and guide us to do Thy holy will. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.